Good morning, friends. I hope you've had a lovely time over Christmas, and may I say Happy New Year to you. This is our first service in 2021. Let's hope the year hasn't started as it will go on, because we hope to be able to meet together soon in this place. I think it's good at the moment that we're able to meet in this way, because the infection rates are high in the area, and so until it's safe to do so, let us just be cautious with meeting. But it's right that we should still gather together to lift our praises to the Lord and also to study his word of scripture. So let's dedicate this time together in prayer. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to embark on a new year together. We thank you for the witness of your church here on the High Street in Rickmansworth. We pray, Lord, that as we look optimistically to the year ahead, that we would follow where you move, Lord. We pray, Lord, for your will for this church in our own lives, and we pray that we may be obedient servants to it. Help us, Lord, in all we do, and we ask, Lord, that you would bless this time together for us. Receive our praise and worship, we pray. Hear and answer our prayers, and feed us, Lord, with your bread of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to begin our sung worship, which we can do in the comfort of our own home. I will turn in the Baptist Praise and Worship hymn book, but if you follow the words that are written below this video in the comments section, we're going to sing together, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence. Bible reading today, I read to you from chapter 2 of Luke's Gospel, starting at verse 8, reading through to the end of verse 15. We're going to dwell just a little bit longer in the nativity of our Lord Jesus. The shepherds and the angels. There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields, taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid, but the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town, your Saviour was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great army of heaven's angels appeared, with the angels singing praises to God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." It's a wonderful picture, isn't it, that we get? A wonderful image of these angels giving glory to God as it should be given. And the shepherds getting a wonderful glimpse into the heavens at this heavenly worship. There's a lot of angelic activity that goes on in and around the passages that we're familiar with during Advent and the Nativity. And we never really, I think, stop to consider what some of this means and how it can help us, considering, as we should of course, what actually happened with the birth of Jesus above the angelic activity that went on. But it's right, I think, that we just pause for a moment to consider some of the angelic activity that was happening and that happens in Scripture. What do we know about angels? Well, many remember that Gabriel appeared to Mary. This happens, you can see it and read about it in Luke chapter 1, verses 31 to 33. And she is promised that she will conceive and bear a son despite her virginity. And it's the angelic messenger Gabriel who gives her this message. Also, the angelic messenger speaks to Zechariah. In Luke chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, we can hear the birth of John the Baptist foretold to Zechariah. Two appearances from the angel. Matthew emphasizes Gabriel's appearance before Joseph in his gospel, foretelling of the birth of Christ. This is the appearance, this is the thing that convinces Joseph to stand by Mary, to continue to be the husband that he was promised to be, and to be the earthly father to Christ. The angel appears before Joseph again, of course, 2 years after the birth of Christ, warning them of danger, and it causes them to flee into Egypt, instead of Jesus being vulnerable to death at the hands of Herod the Great. And in the passage that we've heard read today, at the birth of Christ, the shepherd's encounter with the angels is certainly something that stands out. And it stands out for several reasons. Luke describes this interaction beginning with only one angel. "And an angel of the Lord appeared to them," he says, "and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." God arranged this angelic visitation to the shepherds, announcing the birth of the Messiah, the Saviour in Bethlehem. And then suddenly after this announcement to the shepherds, Luke describes this multitude of angels who appear in the sky above the shepherds, and the shepherds get to see what no one else has seen before or since in their earthly lives, the praising of God by these angels, by the heavens, and they're in great numbers as they do it. The word multitude is used, and it can mean thousands, tens of thousands, or hundreds of thousands of angels appearing. The sky could have been completely filled with the angels as the shepherds watched on. While the appearances of Gabriel before Zechariah, Mary, and Joseph are all remarkable, I think it's this episode with the shepherds that is most awesome. It's hard to imagine having an archangel appear in one's room, let alone God the Father himself, with all the angels adoring him in heaven. How amazing that was. But what do we really know about angels? What do we think we know about angels that is actually not true? Well, in the media, angels are often depicted, aren't they, in films and in plays and in books. Angels are displayed in multiple places. We hear about guardian angels a lot. A lot of products like to call themselves something angel, like the cleaning angel or the toilet paper angel or things like this, to really press home this kind of clean image that is given. More widely in the media, angels are characterized as kind, winged creatures. But I think maybe the depiction that we get in the media is less like the reality, but there is some truth in it still. But I think perhaps an angel is more like a delivery man. They're messengers and servants of God. In the same way that a delivery man will deliver a notice, a letter, a gift from somebody to somebody else, so angels do this with God's word. It's all about the thing they deliver, not about themselves. They point to God. They point and give the message of God to us here on earth. That's what's happened in Scripture. Just think of those two incidences in our Advent readings with Mary and Zechariah. Praise should never be attributed to the angels, but to God, just as their praise is lifted to God in this Bible reading today. Now we can look at some specific attributes that angels have that are scriptural. That is, that they are created beings. They don't have in common with the Father that they're the creator. They are part of the created order of things, just as we are. All things were created by him and for him. Angels come within that. Yes, angels preceded human beings in creation. Their creation is not specifically mentioned, but we infer that when God created the heavens and the earth, he also created the angels then. So the media's portraying of angels as being godlike creatures and not being created is an error, and it's one that we should stay well away from. Another attribute we should realize about angels is that they're spiritual beings, unlike human beings. They were given both body We were both given both body and spirit, but angels are spiritual beings. Furthermore, they're not created in God's image in the same way that humans are. They do not inherit salvation in the same way that humans do. The media often displays angels in heaven as spiritual beings with human bodies. From what we read from Scripture, we can see that they are not like us in that way. Angels can be often depicted as being quite feminine in nature. That's not biblical. They're always referred to in the masculine gender, but there is no mention of their sex in Scripture. But when they are mentioned, they are mentioned in the masculine gender. We should know also that angels are eternal beings. They're not subject to aging. They never die. We should know also that they are higher than human beings. It says in Psalm 8, God made humans a little lower than angels. But in the new creation, redeemed people will be higher than angels and have authority over them. The guardian angels, often portrayed in the media, act as people's servants. But the reality is, in the order of things now, they are higher than us. It's not until salvation has been realized and the old heaven and earth pass away that any of that order will change. They are intelligent, though they are limited spirits. The Bible implies that their intelligence is greater than that of human beings, even though they are limited. They have great strength. But the angel's power is not theirs inherently, but comes completely from what God gives them. In Isaiah 37, we see that one angel was able to kill 185,000 Assyrians in one night. Weapons of mass destruction could not do that in a targeted way like an angel can. They have great power. And unlike us, they're able to dwell fully in the presence of God. Jesus mentions in Matthew 18 that angels always see the face of his Father. And so we are back again, aren't we, to that image of the angels worshipping God in the heavens that the shepherds witness. Well, let's think of some activity that angels have had from what we know in Scripture. Angels relate to individual believers. On various occasions throughout the Old and the New Testaments, we see how angels defend, protect, and deliver God's servants when it is in his providence to do so. They don't act upon their own will, they act upon the will of the Father. And they are here to defend, protect, and to deliver God's servants. They are used by God to help us. Angels are concerned with the church and its activity. We should know this. In 1 Timothy, we see angels called on as a witness to Paul's charge to Timothy. I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions, it says. They want to see God's church succeed. They're here to help. Also, we hear that angels will accompany Christ when he returns. It might be that we've read a lot in the Nativity and the Advent about angels being present. Well, they'll be present again with Jesus when he comes again. When the Son of Man comes, it says in Matthew 25, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. So what about specific angels? Well, what does the Bible tell us about two of the angels that we probably know by name, Michael and Gabriel? Well, Michael is often portrayed in the Bible as a warrior and a special guardian of Israel, which fits, doesn't it, with God's charge on them to defend, protect, and deliver God's servants. Gabriel is often portrayed as the messenger. He's that delivery man. But he has that very special delight of giving very important messages at very important times, as we saw with Zechariah and Mary. He appears also in the book of Daniel when he explains the meaning of Daniel's vision of a ram and a goat. And yet, there are still misconceptions about angels. Some people give them too much credit. They promote them to a status that is left only for God. They call them mediators. But angels are never mediators between people and God. We should not worship them or treat them like this in any way. They're a vehicle between humankind and God. God and humankind. A lot of misconceptions over depicting them as winged creatures. In scripture, angels are always described as appearing in masculine form. There is little evidence portrayed in the Bible that all angels have wings, except in the reference to the cherubim and the seraphim. Another common misconception is that humans become angels when they die, which is also not supported anywhere in scripture. These are things that we can dispel, because if it's not in scripture, then it's not true. There is another angel that is spoken about quite a lot. The fallen angel, Satan. There are lots of different names for this fallen angel. The name Satan means adversary or opponent. The word devil confirms Satan's reality and personality. Tempter, that he tempts people. Evil one, that he snatches the good seed of the word of God from people's hearts. All these words and others are used to describe this one angel who's probably spoken about more than any other. He is the fallen angel. Well, what do we know about him? The first thing, and this is really important, he is not all powerful. And this immediately should protect us, because the one who is all powerful is on our side. Satan is not all powerful. His power over any believer is limited. He requires special permission from God to use his power. We just have to read about this in the book of Job. And whilst there might be questions about why God allows him to use this power, the truth is that we can see that his power is limited, and any power that he has still comes from permission by God. So there's no true power with him. It's only that which is permissible to him. The next thing to understand about Satan is that he's not all-knowing. This means that he does not foresee the outcomes of his attempts to tempt or bring about misfortune. So, as Jesus died on the cross, he may well have thought he had won. He couldn't foresee that Jesus would rise from the dead. How else is he limited? Well, was conquered by Christ. Jesus himself says the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. That was the mission and the ministry of Jesus. The Prince of Peace came to destroy the evil one. What else do we know? He is slated for final judgment. In other words, he will be subject to eternal condemnation and torment in the lake of burning sulfur. Judgment will come upon him. He is not all powerful. He will not win. God will win. And he'll be condemned to torment. And so, friends, we need not to get into a pattern that some Christians do, I think, by putting every misfortune down to the work of Satan. We worship a God who is powerful, who is all-powerful, through whom all power derives. We must take responsibility for our own choice and actions. If we want to defeat Satan, we have access to God's power. If we want to overcome the troubles and the sins that mar our lives, we need to come repentant before the Lord. And then, if we do so, maybe that image of the angels all worshipping God in heaven, as the shepherd saw, can indeed become our reality. May we learn to worship God like that in our lives. Even though we don't see his face at this moment, we have access to him through Jesus Christ. We can see Jesus, and he is the image of God the Father. He and the Father are the same. Be blessed through your relationship with him today. Amen. Well, let's join with the voices of heaven, shall we, as we sing together the words that are in the comments section below. Angel voices ever singing. So if you find those words, let's sing together.
Choices in our choices, so
together. Our loving Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for those images that are brought out through the angels in the scripture reading as they appear before the shepherds. May we remember that as we sing and lift our praises to you, that we are involved in that heavenly worship. May earth and heaven be united. As we look out into the world today, we see more need than ever for earth and heaven to be united. And so we pray, Lord, for your peace to come amongst people who are struggling at this time, in the hospitals, in the care homes, in every aspect of society, where it seems that the illness has ravaged and hurt people. We pray, Lord, for your healing. Would people know your peace, even at this time of extreme emergency. And we pray, Lord, that your healing hand be upon this nation and across the nations over the world. Where there is poverty, we pray, Lord, for your help. For those who have, would they share? For those who have expertise, would they use it for good? We pray, Lord, that we may become the earth that you had in your vision when you created it. A people of love, not of hate. And so we long for that day, Lord, when that true realization will become reality. And we lift these, our prayers, to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We pray now the words that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. God be with you and bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.